Hi there, Sage Candidate of VO2 Max Productions here with another training talk. Today we're going to talk about race strategy, and I want to thank Daniel Commons for posting this question again, and for people that voted, keep the comments coming, keep the votes coming. Share and subscribe if you like these types of videos, because it'll encourage me to do them in the future. But this is a really good question. I think maybe specifically he was asking more about the North Face 50 race when I was talking about in my race recap of that, but also any ultra race, any distance race for that matter, whether you're running a mile, a 5K, half marathon, marathon, 100 miles, it doesn't matter. I kind of use the same race strategy, and this is more of a in the line of a mental training type of thing, pre-race and during the race. And I think it's important to individualize these strategies. This is kind of just what works for me, and these are my tips, kind of what I work through mentally over my 15-year running career, competitive running career. But, you know, it's something that you want to personalize and make your own. But maybe you could get some ideas here on, you know, kind of the things that go through my mind when I'm competing for a good time, or just to push myself, or even for overall place or age group place, things like that. So the first main tip I have would be to break your race down into smaller segments. And a lot of people, you know, you've heard this before, but it's really easy when you're running like a mile on the track or in the mile in college. At times, I wasn't very good at it, but I ran a mile indoors, and you could break it up into quarters. Each quarter mile or 400 meters was real easy to manage. And if you thought of it that way, if you think of your race in smaller sections, it makes it more manageable, and you could focus on each aspect of each quarter, from my mile example. And it would be like, oh, don't go out too fast first quarter. Second quarter, you settle into a rhythm. Third quarter, you really start working, establish position. Fourth quarter, it's balls to the wall kicking. That's how it was for the mile. I ran 4:17 and indoors at Cornell in that race, and I was mid-pack. If you extrapolate that to a longer race, like a marathon, you think of it in terms of maybe the first 5 or 7 miles, the halfway point, up to 13 to 20 miles, and then the last 10K or the last couple miles where you really have to dig deep. So it helps you focus a lot during the race, it helps you focus, but also even before the race, it helps you focus. Because if you're running an ultra, like for example, at the North Face 50 miles, if I thought, holy crap, I gotta run 50 miles, it's overwhelming. And even during the race, I usually mark down 5 mile increments to the next aid station. And like, you know, at Stinson Beach, it was like mile 33, 34, and I was like, okay, like I'll break it down. That next aid station is mile 38 or mile 40. And that sounds manageable. Whereas if you think, holy crap, I've run 30 miles, 33 miles, I'm already over a marathon deep and I got 17 miles to go, it's totally overwhelming. And so you don't want to think that. And sometimes I do think that during the race, but usually it's like, okay, is it 5 miles to the next aid station? And then I'm at mile 40, and you just don't let that set in. And I think I'd take that same strategy to 100 miles as well. But, you know, breaking it down into smaller segments is really my first tip, and it allows you to manage in the moment during the race a lot better. The second main strategy or tip I'd have is pacing. And obviously it's really hard with distance races. You can't go full out 100% sprint from the start because you're not gonna make it. You have to pace yourself. So it means you have to dial back. You have to start out at a more reasonable effort. And obviously the longer the race, the more that could play in. And you know, unless it's a flat road race, you can't just go always by even pace. Even pace in theory should be the ideal, even pace all the way. And in a flat road type of race or on a track, it's obviously easier to do that than if you're doing an ultra where there could be a mountain at mile 20 or whatever. But what you have to realize is it's always gonna be, and this doesn't matter what the course is like, it's always gonna be an increased effort as the race progresses. Because, you know, you're running 6 minute miles in a marathon, maybe the first half that feels good, but then after mile 20, all of a sudden a 6 minute mile feels like a sprint. And you're mentally, you're gonna have to dig down a lot deeper, obviously, at the end of the race than at the beginning, because you're getting tired. So you have to think of it in terms of that. And, you know, people analyze splits and they do all this, and, you know, I know from like some of my PRs on the track and other people, you know, ideally on a flat surface, even pace is the most efficient usually, and it's about managing just even pace, and then at the end you try to give it everything you have, and if you just maintained, then you ran a really good race. And a lot of my PRs were actually slight positive splits because I gave it my all. I kind of started blowing up and fading a little at the end, but it wasn't a horrible fade. My best marathons are always a slow bonk rather than a sharp bonk where you start crawling and walking, which has also happened to me before, by the way. But with an ultra, you know, it's going to be an increased effort, and it's going to increase exponentially. It's going to increase exponentially more difficult with lactic acid accumulating if you're doing a shorter race, but also with glycogen depletion or dehydration. Problems could really hurt you. So analyze paces and look on Strava or look on whatever, at a course map if you're doing a weird hilly race, and try to say, like, what is a manageable pace for this effort at this point? And part of that's dialing into your own personal ability to read your body's effort and kind of read what's sustainable. I still struggle with it a lot. Even at North Face, I was like, well, we're kind of starting fast. Maybe we're going, you know, we're not going super fast, but, you know, we're going faster than what I could keep up. I knew we came through like the first half marathon in like 125, and it was a faster part of the course, but it was also, I mean, we're going 650 mile pace, and I knew usually 720 pace would win the race, but also later on I was slogging up hills at 10 minute, 12 minute mile pace. So you have to be able to read your body in the moment and see what you could sustain. And knowing the course is obviously a huge help, and knowing the distance and how to manage that. So dialing into your own pace and what's sustainable, I guess, is another big part of my strategy. And that kind of leads into my next big point, my next third point, is to exploit others' weaknesses if you're competing head-to-head against people, but mainly to capitalize on your strengths. So, you know, if you know you're good at technical terrain or really steep, bombing steep downhills, then, you know, capitalize on that, pass people on the downhills. For me personally, I'm a much better uphill runner relative to the competition. So, like, I knew at North Face coming out of Mirror Beach, there was a big climb there, and I was like, if you're going to pull away from Dakota Jones, who's really good all-around runner, you're probably going to have to increase your lead on this uphill, because he's going to gain on you on the next downhill, and he sure did. So capitalize on your strengths and realize, you know, if you're going head-to-head against someone, you know, maybe they have different strengths and weaknesses, and you have to recognize, maybe find your strengths and find your weaknesses. And of course, you train for that. You try to work on your weaknesses over time way before the race, but then also near peaking for the race or in your last 3 weeks of training, maybe you're capitalizing more on your strengths, because that's going to give you more confidence, which is also key in this whole mental game of race strategy as well. So, you know, take advantage of the hills if you're a climber, take advantage of the downhills if you're good at bombing that, and try to find sections on a course where you could really open it up relative to the field or your competition or your own personal time goals. I think that's important. And then my final point, the last little thing I do, it's kind of a mental game with myself. And, you know, stay tuned. I'm collaborating on this whole, you know, the mental side of running, and I'm working on this interesting project that I'll release in the coming months. But, you know, this is also a very mental thing, and it's really what I do. I call it tricking myself, and I kind of trick myself into certain things. And I do this during hard workouts, but also through races, and it helps me kind of get the most out of myself, because that's really what we're trying to do. Even with the competition, we're trying to bring out our best self, and we're trying to push ourselves to maybe a new personal best, or just, you know, pushing past the level of fatigue in the hurt locker, or, you know, in the pain cave that we've never been to before. And that's really about transcending your own personal limits. But it's hard to do, because it sucks, it hurts. And what I usually do, like, during a race, maybe, let's say I was struggling at mile 38 at the North Face coming up the climb, and I was really hurting, still had 12 miles to go, is I'll be like, okay, just run to the top of the hill, just don't walk, just, you know, just run to the top of the hill, then you could kind of relax, you look back, see if, you know, Dakota's catching you, or you gain time, then you could just relax. And so I trick myself, just, you know, get up to the top of the hill, just grunt this out, just grunt this rep out, and then, you know, you could relax and be fine. Well, of course, I trick myself, I get to the top of the hill, and I'm like, you know what, why don't you just take advantage of this now and just keep going and just keep pushing it? But, you know, maybe in the back of my mind, it's there, like, I gotta push all the way to the finish and, you know, go all the way, go all out. But at that moment in that race, it would be hard to manage that. So again, breaking it down into a manageable section, push to this next tree, just run to this next, you know, 200 feet, and then you could relax. But then once you get there, trick yourself and say, well, why don't you just keep going? And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but, you know, I do that in hard workouts as well. Maybe I'm doing 8x1,000 meter repeats, which I haven't done for a while. But, you know, you got you're on rep number 5 or 6 and you're tired and you're like, well, you know, my attitude there is, well, the 6th one's always the hardest one because, you know, I got 3 left and I'm over halfway done. So just run this one okay, and then you can just relax on the next 2, on the last 2. Of course, you get to the last 2 and I'm like, well, maybe you could relax on the 2nd to last one because you'll kick it home hard on the last one. But then what ends up happening is I you know, I'll still work pretty hard on the 2nd to last one, and if I ran that rep faster than I should have, then I really do relax on the last one because I don't want to overtrain. But if I, you know, ran a little slower, it's okay because I'll try to kick on the last one, and if, you know, last one, fast one. So you play little mind games with yourself and you trick yourself into these smaller segments that sound more manageable, but then you got to flip the switch and be like, let's take advantage of this momentum we gained. And I think it's really just about gaining momentum, getting yourself out of a low point or out of a funk, building some momentum, and then trying to capitalize it and keep rolling with it. And that's kind of the mind game that I've used in a lot of all my distance races that I've done. And, you know, some days you have tougher days than others and you're not always clicking. And those days you really suffer and really struggle and learn a lot about yourself. But that's kind of the name of the game, and that's why we do it. I guess ultimately is to try to overcome some of those challenges. So that's kind of my race strategy. It is kind of bundled up with the whole mental side of running, which I could talk a lot more on, actually. But it is something you want to investigate, and something that could really give you the edge, could really make or break a race. I always look back into certain races, and there's always a point where I want to give up, I want to stop, I want to slow down, drop out, and I flipped a switch. And that's the best way to describe it, is I decided to just go postal and just go deep into the pain cave, and it always sucks. You're like, oh man, this is gonna suck. These last 10 miles or 15 miles or last mile or last quarter mile, if you're running the mile and you're kicking all out, you know, you embrace that and you're like, you know, you accept it, I guess. You have to accept it, but it's always there. It's always there. It doesn't matter how well trained you are, how fast you run, or how, you know, what position you're in. If you're pushing yourself to your limit, it's gonna hurt. And so I think just realizing that and accepting that pain, being there and trying not to let it get in the way of your goals, is kind of the mental strategy that I've always taken. And it's obviously, it's easier said than done, but I think that's enough of my rant on this topic. Again, I really appreciate all the subscriptions, all the views, all the shares. Feel free to comment below the topic for next week's Training Talk Thursday. And be sure to vote. And thanks for watching. Stay tuned for more VO2 Max Productions.